This is Studio One at CBS.
Mr. Bennett? If you please, Mr. Bennett.
Mother, I don't believe Father is in the library. Jane and I saw him earlier this afternoon. He was out in the carriage. Wasn't he, Jane?
Yes, we saw him, Mother.
Impossible. Your father is a wonderful man, girls, but he practically never stirs from his library. I wonder if I dare open the door.
Yes, I will.
Mr. Bennett? Oh, he's not here.
Is anything wrong, Mother?
Indeed there is, Eliza. Here it is 2 weeks since that young Mr. Bingley moved into Netherfield Park, and your father has not yet made his acquaintance. £5,000 a year.
What?
£5,000 a year. That's Mr. Bingley's income. And your father has still not yet prepared the way for his daughters to meet him.
Mr. Bingley is single, Mama.
Yes, Jane, he is indeed.
Perhaps he doesn't want to get married.
Elizabeth, now what difference does that make? Oh, it's Lydia. Have you seen your father?
He wasn't in Meryton, Mama.
Meryton?
Mary and Kitty and I were there, and... Oh, Elizabeth, Jane, you'll never guess. A regiment of militia has come to stay in Meryton. The officers are so handsome, and such lovely uniforms.
Militia, uniforms... When my daughters marry, as they must, I prefer husbands with something more in the way of assets than simply uniforms.
We can't all marry rich Mr. Bingley, Mama.
I'm afraid none of you will have the opportunity. By now, every other eligible girl in the county must have been presented.
The Columbia Broadcasting System invites you to Studio One for the 16th in a feature series of hour-length versions for listening of celebrated stories, novels, and plays. We introduce the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
Our story tonight is all about the loves and marriages of three of Mr. and Mrs. Bennett's five daughters, Jane, Lydia, and Elizabeth. Particularly Elizabeth, almost blinded by prejudice, romantically involved with Mr. Darcy, a gentleman almost deafened by pride. As you've no doubt guessed, from our opening scene, tonight we bring you Jane Austen's graceful and evergreen comedy of manners, Pride and Prejudice. Although the story is over 150 years old, more than a little of it could have happened not much more than a little while ago. After all, the politeness of romance and the romance of politeness only change by degree. Charm in some form, thank heavens, is always with us, whether in the small English town where Miss Austen's story occurred, or in the reenactment of that story 150 years later over the radio. So much for our play, and now for our players. In the Bennett family...
Elizabeth.
...is played by Anne Burr.
Jane.
By Kathleen Cordell.
Lydia.
By Abby Lewis. Everett Sloan and Sarah Burton are playing Mr. and Mrs. Bennett, and I'm going to join them at the microphone to play Mr. Darcy.
From Studio One at CBS, we present Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen, as arranged for radio by Sheldon Stark.
Here's your father at last. Good afternoon, Mr. Bennett.
Good afternoon, my dear Mrs. Bennett. Jane.
Good afternoon, Father.
Eliza.
Good afternoon, Father.
Lydia.
Father.
I've had quite a drive. May we have tea?
Of course, Mr. Bennett. Lydia, will you ring for tea? And oh, tell the cook to put out some of the strawberry preserve.
What's this? Strawberry preserve? My dear Mrs. Bennett, are you attempting to insinuate yourself into my good graces?
I am indeed, Mr. Bennett. Do you know with whom I spoke this afternoon? And about what?
No.
Our dear friend and neighbor, Lady Lucas. She and her daughter Charlotte have already met Mr. Bingley.
Bingley? Bingley? Oh, yes, yes, the gentleman at Netherfield Park.
The eligible gentleman, Mr. Bennett. Single, with $5,000 a year. Oh, Mr. Bennett, you know how important it is for our daughters to meet Mr. Bingley. Such a simple matter for you to drive over to Netherfield and introduce yourself.
Quite simple, my dear. Quite simple.
Yet have you done so? No. You sit in your library reading the Times, or you ride about in the carriage.
I saw Mr. Bingley this afternoon, my dear.
Precisely. You did? You saw him?
This very afternoon.
You introduced yourself?
Yes. Mr. Bennett of Longbourn Hall. I met Mr. Bingley and his sister.
Oh, Father,
and...
Father, what's he like?
Mr. Bingley, Jane.
Is he handsome?
Jane, my dear, what a ridiculous question. With $5,000 a year, of course he's handsome.
Oh, Mr. Bennet, why didn't you tell us at once instead of teasing us so?
I didn't have a chance to, Mrs. Bennet.
Oh, but never mind, as long as you've done it. Girls, did you hear that? Now you shall meet Mr. Bingley. He's sure to be at the next assembly dance, and if one of you should marry him, we owe it all to your father. Mr. Bennet, you are the kindest husband and the most thoughtful father in the entire country.
Thank you, my dear. Now, may I have some tea?
Tea? Oh, tea. Lydia, did you ring? No, never mind. You and Jane come with me.
Yes, Mama.
Yes, Mama.
Eliza, my dear, your mother is quite unique. There's not another woman like her in all England. If there were, I don't think the country could stand it.
I wish you were not so concerned about getting us married, Father.
No, no, she's right, Eliza, quite right. After all, there are five of you, and there are so few eligible young men in our little community. And, unfortunately, none of you will inherit anything. Longbourn Hall and everything in it will go to your distant cousin, William Collins, when I die.
Distant indeed, since we have never met him.
I believe this cousin of yours is a solicitor for some extremely wealthy gentlewoman named Lady de Burgh, I think. Yes, yes, Lady de Burgh. Collins has written to me once or twice. He manages her business affairs. Oh, that's odd.
Odd?
Yes, this afternoon at Netherfield, I was introduced to a Mr. Darcy, a friend of Mr. Bingley's. I think somebody mentioned Darcy as a nephew to Lady de Burgh.
Is he staying at Netherfield?
Yes. Bingley thinks very highly of him. I suppose I must tell your mother about Mr. Darcy. He's single, too, and twice as wealthy, £10,000 a year. And with five beautiful daughters to choose from, how can he possibly look anywhere else?
Tea is ready, Mr. Bennet.
Oh, thank you, my dear. I tell you what, Eliza. Since Jane is the eldest daughter, I hope Mr. Bingley falls in love with her. And since you are my favorite daughter, I shall leave Mr. Darcy to you. How does that sound?
I know Mama considers them a waste of time because they're poor, but the militia officers do dance beautifully. And they are handsome. Don't you agree, Jane?
I think Mr. Bingley is even more handsome.
That's because he danced with Jane, Lydia.
Only once, Elizabeth. No more than with anyone else. But don't you think he's handsome?
More than that, Jane, dear. He's very agreeable. Not at all like his friend, Mr. Darcy.
Poor Mr. Darcy. He's not dancing. He's hardly even speaking to anyone.
Well, perhaps he's too shy.
Or too proud, Jane. I think he considers a country dance something to tolerate instead of enjoy.
I beg your pardon, Miss Bennett. I quite agree with you.
Lieutenant Wickham, you should not have listened.
I couldn't help overhearing, Miss Elizabeth.
Do you know Mr. Darcy, Mr. Wickham?
I've known him for years, Miss Lydia. In fact, were it not for Mr. Darcy, I would now have an excellent living instead of being only a poor lieutenant of militia.
But what can Mr. Darcy have to do with it, Mr. Wickham?
Miss Elizabeth, Mr. Darcy's late father was my godparent. He promised me a certain inheritance. When he died, Mr. Darcy refused to honor his father's promise.
Refused to honor a promise? Mr. Wickham.
Yes, I know. It doesn't sound like a gentleman, does it? I really shouldn't gossip this way.
If it concerns yourself, Mr. Wickham, I'd hardly call it gossip.
No, but still, perhaps we can discuss it more later on. Mr. Dear, do we have this next dance?
I believe we do, Mr. Wickham.
Then if you'll take my arm. Your servant, lady.
Liza.
Yes, Jane.
Do you think it was proper of Mr. Wickham to speak that way?
About Mr. Darcy? Why not, if it's true? It certainly must be, otherwise Mr. Wickham would not have said it.
But Mr. Darcy is a friend of Mr. Bingley.
And that means he can do no wrong, Jane.
Eliza, they're coming this way. Look.
There they are. Jane, dear, you're blushing.
Oh, dear.
Jane, it's Elizabeth.
Mr. Bingley?
You've met my friend, Mr. Darcy.
Your servant, ladies. Bingley tells me he's enjoying your assembly dance very much.
And you are not, Mr. Darcy?
Oh, yes. Yes, quite entertaining. Not up to London, of course.
Your enthusiasm is overwhelming, Mr. Darcy.
Huh? Well, forgive me for speaking so honestly.
I see. You believe in honesty?
I always have, Miss Elizabeth.
How interesting.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Perhaps you will when I tell you that we have just been talking to an acquaintance of yours, Mr. Wickham.
Wickham?
Or perhaps your father was more concerned about him than you are, Mr. Darcy.
If you don't mind, Miss Bennet, I'd prefer not to discuss Mr. Wickham at all.
Oh, Miss Jane.
Yes, Mr. Bingley.
I've come over to ask you, is your next dance taken?
My next... Why, no, Mr. Bingley.
Then may I have the pleasure?
You may, Mr. Bingley.
Allow me, Miss Jane.
Are you settled in Netherfield, Mr. Bingley?
Yes. Perhaps you can pay us a visit there one day.
You're smiling, Mr. Darcy. Do you find us so amusing after London?
Amusing, Miss Elizabeth?
You have hardly spoken to anyone.
Well, I'm speaking to you. Would you care to dance, Miss Bennet?
Thank you, Mr. Darcy. But since you have danced with no one all evening, I see no reason for you to change your mind now. Good night.
Mama, the sky is getting more cloudy by the minute. Don't you think I should go to Netherfield by carriage instead of by horse?
Nonsense, Jane. The horse is all saddled and ready. Now, do hurry. You've been invited to dinner, and Mr. Bingley's sister will never forgive you if you're late.
But it is going to rain, Mama. If Jane gets caught, she'll be soaked through. She may come down with a cold.
Oh, Eliza, of course she may.
What? Mama, you sound as if you want her to.
Frankly, Eliza, I do. Then she'll have to stay at Netherfield for a few days, and that will give Mr. Bingley more opportunities to see her.
Oh, Mama.
Proximity, my dear Eliza, proximity. Now go along, Jane.
All right, Mama. And be as pleasant as you can.
I shall. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jane.
Ah, oh, dear Jane, she's always pleasant. A pity you can't be more like her, Eliza.
Are you referring to Mr. Darcy, Mama?
You really should have danced with him that night, Eliza. Mr. Darcy does have 10,000 a year.
Mrs. Bennet, was that Jane?
Yes, Mr. Bennet.
Well, why didn't she take the carriage? It's going to rain.
Oh, do you think it will, Mr. Bennet?
Eh?
Mother wants it to, Father.
She does? Oh, I see. But suppose she gets very ill.
Nonsense, Mr. Bennet. A healthy girl gets only slightly ill. What's that you've got?
Eh?
In your hand, my dear. Is it a letter?
Oh, this, yes. I forgot all about it. It's from our distant cousin, William Collins.
Not distant enough, Mr. Bennet, since he will inherit Longbourn Hall.
He's coming to visit us.
He is? What for, Father?
I don't know, Eliza. He says he has a particular reason, but he doesn't say what it is. I suppose we'll find out when he arrives. Well, there's your rain, Mrs. Bennet.
Yes, isn't it lovely? Jane will get soaked. Eliza.
Yes, Mama.
It will probably be a few days before Jane's well enough to return home from Netherfield. When she is, will you go for her?
Yes, Mama. But please do not expect me to be civil to Mr. Darcy. The less I see of him, the better. Here is the carriage, Jane.
Miss Jane, are you certain you're feeling well enough to return home?
Oh, yes, Mr. Bingley. I've already imposed too long on you and your sister.
Oh, not at all. It's been very pleasant, hasn't it, Darcy?
Eh? Oh, yes, Bingley. Yes, indeed.
Let me help you into the carriage, Miss Jane.
Oh, yes.
This way.
Your sister's quite charming, Miss Elizabeth.
I have known that longer than you, Mr. Darcy.
I'm sure you have. And Mr. Bingley's been quite attentive.
Mr. Darcy, don't you think that that is their own affair?
Oh, please, Miss Elizabeth. Is there no way you and I can talk without being at sword's point? You know, I have an admission to make.
About what, Mr. Darcy?
About you. I think you're quite as charming as your sister. Perhaps the next time you will dance with me.
Perhaps. But now you'll have to excuse us, Mr. Darcy.
Here, Elizabeth, let me help you up.
I can manage, thank you.
Goodbye, Miss Elizabeth.
Miss Jane.
Goodbye, Mr. Bingley.
Goodbye, Mr. Bingley. And goodbye to you, Mr. Darcy.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Beautiful girl, Darcy.
Yes, both of them.
So gentle, so courteous and kind.
Here, Bingley, don't tell me you're in love with her.
Well,
as if you are, you're making a mistake.
Why, what do you mean?
The girl doesn't love you.
She doesn't?
Oh, I admit she may act that way, but I'm sure she doesn't. I think she's simply following her mother's orders.
Oh, no. You do?
Oh, look at it sensibly, Bingley. You've got 5,000 a year, and what of the Bennets? 2,000. And even that won't stay with the children. No, Mrs. Bennet is trying to make a match, Bingley.
Well, what of it most mothers do?
You never meet people like that in London, do you? Think it over, Bingley, before it becomes too serious.
Jane, our cousin has arrived. Mother wants us to meet him.
Our cousin?
Yes, William Collins. And you should see him, Jane. He looks like... Jane. Why, Jane, what is the matter?
Oh, Eliza, he's gone away.
Gone? You mean Mr. Bingley?
Without even telling me, Eliza. Oh. One of the servants brought over a letter from his sister Caroline. He's gone to London, Eliza.
Oh, Jane. Oh, but surely only for a visit.
No, they've closed Netherfield Park. They've all gone. His sister, Mr. Darcy, and Mr. Bingley himself. All gone to Mr. Darcy's London house.
Mr. Darcy. Jane, it is Mr. Darcy who is to blame.
You think he influenced Mr. Bingley?
Mr. Bingley would never be that unkind. Unless Mr. Darcy had persuaded him. Still, it is only for the winter, Jane.
Yes, I know, Eliza, but if he should forget me, if he should meet someone else... Oh, Eliza, I can't help thinking it may be forever.
Oh, now, Jane. Please, dear, don't cry. And there is our cousin, Mr. Collins. He's down in the library now. They're waiting for us.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, to be sure, Mr. Bennet. My employer, Lady Catherine de Burgh, is a descendant of one of the finest families in all England. And tremendously wealthy, of course.
Of course, Mr. Collins.
Her country estate in Hunsford, you know, the estate of Rosings. Beautiful. And huge, really. Quite tremendous. Well, you could take Longbourn Hall and put it in a corner of Rosings and never notice it. No offense to Longbourn Hall, of course.
Of course.
Especially since, after your demise, my dear Mr. Bennet, Longbourn Hall shall pass on to me. So I meant no offense at all. Simply a comparison. Which brings me to my reason for paying you this visit.
Of course. Oh, yes, your visit.
We're delighted to have you here, Mr. Collins.
Yes, thank you, Mrs. Bennet. Yes, I flatter myself that my small connection with Lady Catherine de Burgh gives me entree into the most exclusive homes. Why, I even have dinner with Lady de Burgh once a week.
You do, Mr. Collins?
Regularly, and tea twice weekly. I live on the estate, you know, small house near the entrance to Rosings. You must visit me there. Where was I?
You were telling us your reason for this visit.
Oh, yes. Well, Mr. Bennet, Lady de Burgh has suggested that I get married.
Oh. She has, eh?
Naturally, I had been considering it myself, but when Lady de Burgh does me the great honor of suggesting the very same thing, well, that settles it, of course.
Of course.
It must be a young lady of good breeding and deportment. After all, she will go to dinner with me at Lady de Burgh's each week.
Twice to see. And tea twice weekly.
Oh, yes. So you see, it is important to pick a proper wife. And it has occurred to me, Mr. Bennet and madam, that inasmuch as your daughters shall eventually lose this home because of me, why then, why should I not give one of them a home?
Marry one of our daughters, Mr. Collins?
Exactly, my dear Mrs. Bennet.
Why, Mr. Collins, how good of you to think of us. You shall meet all five of our daughters, although... We do have other hopes for one.
Oh?
Our eldest daughter, Jane, a very eligible young gentleman, has been most attentive. But all the others, Elizabeth, Mary, Kitty, and Lydia, Mr. Bennet and I are sure that... Come in. Ah, Jane and Elizabeth. Mr. Bennet, will you introduce their cousin?
Yes, certainly. Jane, may I present... Well, Jane, is something wrong, my dear?
No, Father. Just that Mr. Bingley has left Netherfield Park.
Mr. Bingley has left? Where has he gone?
To London for the winter, Mother.
London?
Jane is right, Mama. He and his sister and Mr. Darcy.
Darcy? Did you say Darcy? Can that be the nephew of my employer, Lady Catherine de Burgh?
Yes, Mr. Collins. I believe he is.
Gone to London. Oh, what a pity. If I'd met him, I could have given him Lady de Burgh's compliments.
Compliments? On what, Fred?
On what? Nothing. Just her compliments. She was quite well the last time I saw her. I have dinner with her every week. Oh, but I beg your pardon. We haven't yet been introduced.
Yes, of course. Jane, your cousin, Mr. Collins.
Mr. Collins.
Jane, how do you do?
Elizabeth, your cousin, Mr. Collins.
Mr. Collins?
Elizabeth. Charmed, I'm sure. I hope to see you often during my visit.
Do you?
Oh, yes. I do. I do, indeed.
Jane, my dear, try to be more careful with your knitting. You dropped another stitch there, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mama. I was thinking.
Have you heard from London at all, Jane?
No, Eliza, not at all. I don't think I shall.
Oh, nonsense, Jane. I'm sure Mr. Bingley means to write. Probably just too busy. Eliza, why don't you go out into the conservatory and talk to your cousin, Mr. Collins? He's leaving in a few days, you know.
I will, Mama. As soon as I finish my knitting.
Well, you're almost done.
No, I'm just beginning.
Oh. Oh, I see.
Oh, dear. I've dropped another stitch.
Mama. Why can't Jane go to London?
Oh, Eliza, no.
Why not, Jane? It doesn't do a bit of good to sit here and do nothing. We have relatives in London. You could visit them.
But they don't move in the same circles as Mr. Bingley.
But you still might see him.
Yes, I suppose I might.
Why not, Mother?
A visit to London? Why, yes, that's an excellent idea. I'm glad you thought of it, Eliza. I'll arrange it immediately. And when you get to London, Jane, you're certain to resume with Mr. Bingley.
Well, perhaps he isn't anxious to see me.
Fiddlesticks. After being so pleasant to you here in the county, of course he'll want to. And when he does, I'm sure everything will be as right as rain. Yes, Jane, to London for the winter.
Well, Forgive my intruding, but may I have your permission to speak to Miss Elizabeth in private?
In private? Oh, Mr. Collins, by all means. And you have my approval as well. You hear that, Elizabeth? My approval as well. Come, Jane, come upstairs at once.
Yes, Eliza.
Mother. Yes, Eliza?
I'm sure Mr. Collins has nothing to say to me. Please don't go.
Ah, but I do have something to say, Miss Elizabeth.
Please, Mama, let me come with you.
Elizabeth, my dear, don't be ridiculous. I insist that you stay and hear Mr. Collins. Come, Jane.
Yes, Mama. Well, Mr. Collins?
My dear Miss Elizabeth, first allow me to state that your hesitancy at this moment pleases me very much. It's a sign of maidenly modesty, and I'm delighted to see it. Just as you will be delighted with what I have to say. Miss Bennet, I have decided to get married.
Yes, Mr. Collins.
Please,
only
allow me to complete my thought. Not only because I'm in a position to get married, being solicitor to Lady Catherine de Burgh, and not only because it will add to my happiness, but also because Lady de Burgh herself has advised it.
I am sure that you...
Twice she has condescended to so advise. Not once, Miss Elizabeth, but twice. Choose a wife, Mr. Collins, she said. Choose a gentlewoman for my sake, Mr. Collins, and for your own sake, choose one born not of too high a station, but of an active, useful disposition. Those were her very words, Miss Elizabeth. And then she said, bring such a wife home to Rosings, Mr. Collins, and I shall be pleased to meet her. Her very words, Miss Elizabeth. I shall be pleased to meet her.
That is very gracious of Lady de Burgh, Mr. Collins.
Yes,
but
very gracious. And I'm sure, my dear Elizabeth, that she'll consider you an excellent choice.
Mr. Collins, please. I've not given you my answer yet.
Oh, well.
And I'm afraid my answer must be no.
It doesn't matter. No.
I thank you for the compliment, Mr. Collins, but I must decline.
Oh, very charming, Miss Elizabeth. Your reluctance does you credit. So many young ladies pretend at first, don't they?
Pretend, Mr. Collins?
Yes, even when they secretly mean to accept.
Oh, but I assure you, Mr. Collins, I have no secret intention of accepting.
Oh, charming, Miss Elizabeth, charming. But at the risk of flattering myself, I cannot believe you. After all, I've so much to recommend me. My situation in life, my connection with Lady de Burgh, and also, please to remember, you yourself have no property, so you're not likely to receive another offer of marriage. Oh, no, Miss Elizabeth. You're simply keeping me in suspense to increase my love for you.
Mr. Collins, please, you must believe me. I know it is an honor, and I thank you for it, but I am sincere.
Oh, delightful, delightful, Miss Elizabeth. A most convincing performance. And now, if you'll excuse me, I shall speak to your parents at once.
But, Mr. Collins...
Yes, at once. This is indeed a happy day. A happy day for us both.
Collins, and you have already spoken to Elizabeth.
Yes, Mr. Bennet. She pretends to refuse me. Maidenly modesty, you know.
Mr. Bennet, we must talk to her.
Yes. Mr. Collins, could you send Elizabeth to us alone, please?
At once, Mr. Bennet, at once. And I'm sure I could not have chosen more wisely.
Oh, Mr. Bennet, you simply must bring Elizabeth to her senses.
She has refused, Mrs. Bennet.
She can't refuse an offer of marriage. Oh, you know how stubborn she is. You simply must talk to her.
I shall, my dear.
You asked to see me, Father?
Oh, come in, Elizabeth. My dear, I understand that Mr. Collins has asked you to marry him.
Yes, Father.
And you have refused?
Yes, Father, I have.
Your mother insists that you accept.
Eliza, you must. You must, or I shall never speak to you again.
Well, there you are, Eliza. If you refuse, your mother will never speak to you again. But, on the other hand, if you accept, I shall never speak to you again.
What? What's that, Mr. Bennet?
You heard me, my dear.
But do you mean you don't want her to be married?
To Mr. Collins? Never.
Oh, Father. Father, I never shall.
Oh, but this is unheard of. Mr. Bennet, you promised me you would insist.
I am, my dear. I'm insisting that Eliza refuse. Let her find her husband somewhere else.
Somewhere else? Where else can she find one, I'd like to know?
I have no idea. But wherever it is, no one can possibly be worse than Mr. Collins. And as for Mr. Collins himself, he can marry anyone, as long as he's not one of my daughters. Now, let's talk of something else.
Oh, what else is there to talk about?
Well, there's Jane.
Jane?
Yes. Is she going to London or not?
Yes. Yes, Mr. Bennet. She is.
Well, I'm sure that will prove to be a most interesting move. No. Yes, indeed.
This is Studio One at CBS, offering as its 16th broadcast in a feature series of hour-length dramas, Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, as arranged for radio by Sheldon Stark. The story will resume after a brief pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Continuing Columbia's full-hour presentation from Studio One, the eternal problem in all ages of marriageable daughters forms the background for the pride of elegant Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth answering prejudice against his snobbery. Now the concluding portion of Jane Austen's classic, Pride and Prejudice.
Dearest Sister Jane, since you went to London, our dear cousin, Mr. Collins, has also left. He has gone back to Rosings. And Jane, you'll never guess, he has taken with him a wife. And since you cannot possibly imagine who would marry Mr. Collins, I'll tell you at once, it is not one of our sisters. No, it is our friend and former neighbor, Charlotte Lucas, daughter of Sir William and Lady Lucas. There's no other news here of any importance. Lydia sees Lieutenant Wickham quite often. We are all quite healthy, including father and mother.
And we all miss you very much. But we are glad that you are in London, and we all hope that you are enjoying yourself and having a wonderful time. Jane, dear, please write and tell us, have you run across Mr. Bingley yet? Mr. Bingley? Dearest Eliza, it is so pleasant to receive your dear letters and to hear that everyone at Longbourn Hall is quite well. It was very amusing to hear that our cousin Mr. Collins found someone else so soon after you rejected him. As for London, I'm quite well and enjoying myself as much as can be expected. However, I must confess that I'm not very happy.
And I'm sure, Eliza, that you can guess the reason why. Half the winter has already passed, and I have not yet had occasion to see Mr. Bingley. He is still in London, and so is Mr. Darcy. But I am never invited to either the Bingley home or the Darcy home, and I am not very hopeful.
Oh, that Mr. Darcy!
Dearest Sister Jane, I am writing this letter to you not from Longbourn Hall, but from Rosings, the estate of Lady Catherine de Bourgh. Yes, as you suppose. Mr. Collins and Charlotte invited me, and I have accepted their invitation. I do confess I am curious to meet Lady Catherine and to find out if she is as insufferable as her horrible nephew, Mr. Darcy. I shall meet her this afternoon. Mr. Collins and Charlotte and I have been invited to tea.
I see, Mr. Collins. And this young lady is your cousin, Miss Bennet?
Yes, Lady de Bourgh. And she is extremely sensible of the high honor that has been paid her in being invited to tea by your ladyship, as indeed am I and my dear wife. It's always such an exceptional privilege to see your ladyship.
Thank you, Mr. Collins. Your sentiments do you credit. Well, Miss Bennet, welcome to Rosings.
Thank you, Lady de Bourgh.
I understand from Mr. Collins that you play the piano for.
I do, but not very well.
Then you should practice. You had lessons as a child, I presume?
Not regularly, Lady de Bourgh.
Indeed. Every child should have lessons. Do you draw?
I'm afraid not.
You don't? Well, didn't your governess teach you?
We had no governess.
No governess? That's strange. And you have four sisters?
Yes. There are five of us altogether.
And no governess? Well, that's extremely odd. How children can be brought up without a governess, I can't understand. By the way, Mr. Collins tells me you know... that you are acquainted with my nephew, Mr. Darcy.
Yes, Lady de Bourgh. I've had that pleasure.
Met him once, I presume?
No. No, it was several times.
Oh? Well, I suppose in some parts of the country there may be some relaxation of the social standards, although I, for one, do not approve. A position for everyone, and everyone to his position. Eh, Mr. Collins?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, your ladyship.
And I must confess, Miss Bennet, my nephew, Mr. Darcy, is at all times extremely conscious of his social position. For example, there is a friend of Mr. Darcy's, a gentleman whose name I have forgotten. Doesn't matter. None of us know him, I'm sure. At any rate, this gentleman developed an attachment for a young lady who was far below his social level.
I see, Lady de Bourgh. And what did Mr. Darcy do?
It was in the country, Miss Bennet. Mr. Darcy persuaded his friend to leave the country and return to London, thus eliminating any further danger. Mr. Darcy must be very proud of himself.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. My nephew is the model of what a true gentleman should be.
You have seen him lately, Lady de Burgh?
No, although he does visit Rosings occasionally at this time of year in the spring. Mr. Collins.
Yes, your ladyship.
I'd like my tea. Please ring for it now.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, your ladyship.
Miss Bennet, will you play something for us?
Oh, I'm very sorry, your ladyship. I'm quite out of practice.
Oh? Then may I suggest during your stay at Rosings you do some practicing?
There is no piano in Mr. Collins' house, your ladyship.
No, you are at liberty to come here. Not in this part of the house, of course. There's another piano in the green room. It won't disturb me in the slightest.
Thank you very much, Lady de Burgh. But if you do not mind, I would much prefer to go walking around the estate. Rosings is so beautiful, and I would never dream of disturbing you.
Oh! I beg your pardon, I wasn't watching. Miss Bennet.
Mr. Darcy, what are you doing here?
Of course. You're visiting your cousin, Mr. Collins.
And you are visiting your aunt.
Yes, Lady de Burgh. Yes.
And how was London, Mr. Darcy?
London?
Yes.
Oh, London is... London.
And your friend, Mr. Bingley?
Mr. Bingley? Oh, Bingley's well, very well. So, you're here at Rosings, Miss Elizabeth. I've not seen you in quite some time.
No, Mr. Darcy. Not since last summer.
Yes. Bingley and I left in rather a hurry. Well, we didn't stop over to say goodbye, did we?
It was rather sudden, I know. It seemed especially sudden to my sister, Jane.
Oh, Jane? Oh, yes.
She has been in London for the winter, but I'm sure she has not seen you or Mr. Bingley.
Oh, no, I don't think she has. Miss Elizabeth, may I say that you're looking very well. In fact, very attractive indeed.
Thank you, Mr. Darcy, but you need not.
Need not what?
Need not say it.
But why shouldn't I? Especially when it's true. May I walk with you, Miss Elizabeth?
Thank you, Mr. Darcy, but I have finished my walk.
Oh, you have?
If you'll excuse me, I'm going back to Mr. Collins' home.
Of course. But I will see you again.
I suppose you will, Mr. Darcy. Since this is your aunt's estate and I am a guest, I do not see how I can possibly avoid you.
Here on our right, Miss Elizabeth, are the oak trees of Rosings. As you can see, they've been here for centuries.
I am sure they have, Mr. Darcy.
The large one in the center is believed to have been there since before the Battle of Hastings almost 600 years ago.
That's very interesting, Mr. Darcy.
You don't sound very enthusiastic, Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, I am. But I should like to point out that there are very few leaves on that particular tree.
I'm afraid I don't understand. You have some other meaning?
Simply that because a thing is old and well established, that does not mean it is any better.
I still do not understand.
Then let me put it more directly, Mr. Darcy. Your family is old and well established, but I consider those things less important than character and honesty. There is such a thing as too much pride of family, Mr. Darcy.
Oh, I see. Well, for that matter, Miss Elizabeth, I would call you prejudiced.
Prejudiced? About what, Mr. Darcy?
About me, perhaps.
Well, I must admit, Mr. Darcy, that... Anyone
for example, that story Mr. Wickham told you.
Mr. Wickham?
Yes, that I cheated him out of his just inheritance.
Oh, yes. Actually, I was thinking of something else.
You were? About what, Miss Elizabeth?
About... But never mind. So Mr. Wickham's story is untrue. Your father did not mention him?
My father was very fond of Mr. Wickham. Unfortunately, Wickham was a scoundrel.
Indeed?
He was, Miss Elizabeth, and still is. While my father was alive, I did nothing about it because of his regard for Wickham. But afterwards, I gave Mr. Wickham what he deserved. He deserved nothing, and he got nothing. You don't believe me, Miss Elizabeth?
Mr. Darcy, Mr. Wickham is much more plausible than you are.
I am sure he is. Unfortunately, I have always avoided discussions of this sort. They embarrass me.
You are much too shy, Mr. Darcy.
Now, that's it exactly. I am shy, Miss Elizabeth.
Yet you are telling me about this now, in spite of your shyness?
Oh, yes. Because I... Well, because I value your good opinion. You see... Miss Elizabeth, would you like to see the rose garden?
No.
You would not?
I'm afraid I cannot, Mr. Darcy.
But why?
Because I'm leaving for Longbourn Hall tomorrow, and I still must pack.
Oh, yes. Yes, so you do. Well, at any rate, I shall see you this evening at dinner with Lady de Burgh. After all, I couldn't let you leave Rosings without saying goodbye, could I?
What's that, Cousin Elizabeth? Did I hear you correctly? You're not coming to dinner?
No, Mr. Collins. I'm sure Lady De Vere will excuse me.
But, my dear cousin, Mrs. Collins is already waiting for us in the carriage. And not to have dinner with Lady De Vere, you can't be serious. What shall I tell her?
Oh, Mr. Collins, tell her whatever you choose. I have a headache.
A headache?
Yes.
Oh. But even so, Lady De Vere will be very annoyed. I don't know what to say. After she's been so kind and generous to us. Elizabeth, you simply must come.
Mr. Collins, please. I beg your pardon, but frankly, I'm not going because I prefer not to see Mr. Darcy.
Eh? What's that?
I have seen too much of that gentleman already.
You saw Mr. Darcy again this afternoon?
Yes.
Dear me, quite often.
It amuses you, Mr. Collins?
No. It simply reminds me of what my wife said this morning. She said Mr. Darcy has been seeing you so often, he must be in love with you.
You consider that ridiculous?
Well, of course it is. Mrs. Collins is just being romantic. Mr. Darcy in love with you? Why, of course, it's ridiculous. Absolutely. But this dinner at her ladyship's, why should Mr. Darcy's presence interfere?
Because of what he has done to my sister, Jane.
Jane?
Yes, Jane and Mr. Bingley. Oh, but you know very little of that, Mr. Collins. Please, you and Mrs. Collins go ahead. I shall stay here.
Very well, Elizabeth, if you insist. But her ladyship won't like it. She won't like it at all.
Now, who can that be? Just when I wish to be alone.
Miss Elizabeth?
Oh, Mr. Darcy. Everyone has gone to dinner.
Except for you, Miss Elizabeth. May I come in?
If you wish.
May I sit down?
If you wish.
May I speak?
Mr. Darcy, if you are here to apologize, pray do not bother.
Apologize? For what, Miss Elizabeth?
Or if you have come to say goodbye, please say it.
Miss Elizabeth, please. I have come for one purpose only. In vain have I struggled. It will not do. My feelings will not be repressed. You must allow me to tell you how ardently I admire and love you.
You love me, Mr. Darcy?
I do indeed, with all my heart and soul, Miss Elizabeth.
You love me? You mean all those occasions when we happened to meet each other, these meetings were not accidental?
Not on my part. They were deliberate, Miss Elizabeth. I did not want to see you, and yet I could not help myself. I had to see you. I admire you and love you, even though I have struggled against it.
What did you say, Mr. Darcy? Struggled against it?
Oh, yes. After all, Miss Elizabeth, there's a very large difference between our social positions.
Oh.
Ever since I first met you, I've been attracted to you, but always I would remind myself that I am a Darcy. I would remind myself that a Darcy cannot marry beneath his station, that in choosing a wife... Miss Elizabeth, why are you staring at me?
Mr. Darcy, will you please go this moment?
Go, Miss Elizabeth?
I am grateful for your offer, but I cannot allow you to forget that you are a Darcy.
But I do not understand.
I'm sorry I cannot marry you, Mr. Darcy. But you will still have your pride. That is much more important, I'm sure.
Miss Elizabeth, you mean you refuse me?
I do indeed. For a moment I thought you came here to apologize for the wrong you had done to my sister.
Wrong? What wrong? I've done no wrong.
You took Mr. Bingley to London. You took him away from Jane, even though she loved him.
Oh, come now, Miss Elizabeth. Your sister in love?
Very much in love, Mr. Darcy.
If she was, I assure you, she concealed it admirably.
Mr. Darcy, my sister Jane is not very demonstrative. She is quiet and restrained. But simply because she does not display her emotions does not mean that she has none. She loved Mr. Bingley with all her heart, and she still does.
Miss Elizabeth, I had no idea.
Please, Mr. Darcy, I don't want any explanations. I hope that someday Jane will forget about Mr. Bingley. As for what has happened here, I would never marry a man like you in any case. And since I am leaving tomorrow, it will be a simple matter for you to forget me and remember only your pride in your family. Goodbye, Mr. Darcy. Jane. Jane, dear.
Hmm? Yes, Eliza.
You have dropped another stitch?
Oh, so I have. Oh, Eliza, it's no use. No matter what I try to do, I can't forget Mr. Bingley. Even in London all winter, even here, home again at Longbourn Hall, right in the middle of whatever I'm doing, I think of him. James,
dear, it doesn't do any good.
I know.
But there is one satisfaction, Jane. I told Mr. Darcy exactly what I thought of him.
I think you should have married Mr. Darcy, Eliza.
Married him? You cannot be serious, Jane.
Well, he did explain his reasons for influencing Mr. Bingley against me. After all, he did what he thought was best.
Nonsense, Jane. Please, don't make excuses for the man.
Lydia? Jane, Elizabeth? Have you seen Lydia?
No, Mama.
Perhaps she's out in the garden with Mary and Kitty.
No, she's not. I don't know where she can be. Oh, Lydia! Lydia!
Jane, dear, please try to forget Mr. Bingley. Go on with your knitting.
I'll go on, Eliza. But I'm sure I shall never forget.
Eliza, was someone calling me?
What is it, Father?
I thought I heard your mother. What's she calling?
She's searching for Lydia, Father.
Oh, what's your sister done now?
I do not know, sir.
Oh, well, whatever it is, your mother is sure to find out. How are you, Jane?
I'm all right, Father.
Now, my dear. Things are seldom as bad as they seem. Now.
Mr. Bennett! Oh, Mr. Bennett!
Good heavens, now what?
Mr. Bennett! Oh,
Madam,
Bennett.
Control yourself.
But it's Lydia on her pillow. Her note gone. Oh, how could she? Without a word.
Mrs. Bennett, if you please. Madam, what are you talking about?
Our daughter Lydia, Mr. Bennett. She left this note on her pillow. She's run off with Lieutenant Wickham.
What?
She has run off with Lieutenant Wickham. Oh, Mr. Bennett, suppose they're not married.
Eliza, send for my carriage at once. I'll go after them. And they'd better be married.
Mama, it's the carriage. It's Father. He's back.
Oh, Eliza, I can't let you look. Is Lydia with him?
He's getting out now. No, he's alone.
Oh, Lydia isn't with him. Oh, dear. Oh, I don't know what to think.
Mama, it's sure to be all right.
Oh, I hope so, Jane, dear.
He's coming up the steps.
Quiet now.
Quiet, all of you. Well, Mr. Bennett.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Bennett. Children.
Good afternoon, Father. Girls, hush. Well, Mr. Bennett.
Well, what, my dear?
Oh, please. Please don't be exasperating. You know. Lydia and Lieutenant Wickham. Mr. Bennett. If they've been disgraced, I couldn't stand it. Please. Are they or are they not?
I followed them to London, Mrs. Bennett. I met Mr. Darcy there, and he was very helpful.
Mr. Darcy, Father? What could he do?
Quite a good deal, Eliza. In fact, if it were not for Mr. Darcy...
Oh, good heavens, never mind, Mr. Darcy. Whatever it is, Eliza, ask your father about it later. Mr. Bennett, are they married or are they not?
Mrs. Bennett, they are married. Come in, Eliza. I've been expecting you. You're curious about Mr. Darcy, I suppose.
Yes, Father. What did he have to do with Lydia and Mr. Wickham?
Eliza, I think perhaps you've misjudged Mr. Darcy.
I certainly have, Father. At least as far as Mr. Wickham is concerned. Mr. Darcy said he was a scoundrel, and he was right. To run off with Lydia without even asking your consent.
It's more than that, my dear. To put it delicately, Mr. Darcy has saved us from a scandal. If it had not been for him, I fear I might have been too late.
Too late, Father?
Mr. Darcy located them, Eliza. It was he who persuaded Mr. Wickham to marry your sister.
Oh, Father.
Yes. Quite fortunate that I ran across him. He was very helpful. I shouldn't have mentioned this, Eliza. Mr. Darcy asked me not to, but I thought you would like to know.
I do, Father. Not that it matters at all, but I have a better opinion of him now. In spite of poor Jane.
Jane? Oh, that business of young Mr. Bingley, eh?
I don't think she will ever get over it.
Well, perhaps it's better if she doesn't.
Oh, Father, how can you say that? How can it be better for Jane to keep on being in love with a gentleman she will never see again?
Oh, I wouldn't be that pessimistic, Eliza. She may see him. In fact, she probably will. Inasmuch as he's already returned to Netherfield Park.
Mr. Bingley, Father, he has come back?
I saw him myself, Eliza, as I was driving by in the carriage. I even stopped and spoke to him. In fact, he told me he might call this afternoon.
This afternoon? Here? At Longbourn Hall?
That's what he said. Do you think you'd better tell Jane?
I certainly shall, Father.
Yes. I don't doubt it. And you might as well take her out to the garden, Eliza. She can pick roses and watch the road at the same time.
Another rose. Jane, dear, there's no flower on this one. It's just a stem.
Oh, I know. I can't watch the road and the flowers at the same time.
Then just watch the road.
Oh, Eliza, I'm so nervous. Is Father sure Mr. Bingley said this afternoon?
Jane, I hear a carriage.
So do I. The hedge is so tall, I can't see over it.
It's turning in. Jane, it's turning in.
Eliza, it's not Mr. Bingley at all. It's Mr. Collins.
Yes.
And a woman.
It's Lady De Burgh.
Lady De Burgh?
Yes.
You mean Mr. Darcy's aunt?
Yes, I cannot imagine what she wants.
Miss Bennet, if you please.
Come, Jane.
She sounds as disagreeable as she looks, Eliza.
She is. Good afternoon, Lady De Burgh.
Good afternoon, Miss Bennet.
May I present my sister, Jane?
Delighted, I'm sure. Mr. Collins?
What? Oh, yes, of course, your ladyship. Cousin Jane, Lady De Burgh wishes to speak with Cousin Elizabeth privately.
Oh, I see. Shall I inform Mother and Father that Lady De Burgh...
You will inform them of nothing, young lady. This is not a social call. Simply retire to the end of the garden. Pick flowers.
I already have.
Well, then pick some more. Pray leave us alone with your sister.
Please leave us, Jane. Very well, Eliza. Lady De Burgh.
Proceed, Mr. Collins.
Cousin Elizabeth, Lady De Burgh wishes to inform you that she is extremely upset concerning a certain state of affairs between you and her nephew, Mr. Darcy.
A certain state of affairs?
To put it plainly, Lady De Burgh is disturbed.
Disturbed?
Very disturbed. In short, Cousin Elizabeth, to put it delicately, and naturally I quite agree with her ladyship that such a thing is impossible. After all, as her ladyship says, a position for everyone and everyone to his position. Well, to put it delicately...
Mr. Collins, get to the point.
Yes, your ladyship. Cousin Elizabeth, you simply cannot marry Mr. Darcy.
Marry Mr. Darcy? I had no intention of it.
My dear Miss Bennet, please.
Lady De Burgh, surely you must have some other errand than this.
Collins, please to explain...
Well...
No, never mind. I'll do it myself. Miss Bennet, you may look as innocent as you choose, but you cannot deceive me. Can you swear to me that you and my nephew have not engaged in any conversation about love?
Lady De Burgh, whether we have or not, I can assure you...
My dear, I do not want assurances. I simply want an answer.
But I'm afraid I cannot give you one.
Cousin Elizabeth.
What do you mean, Miss Bennet?
Simply that such a subject seems to me entirely a private matter.
Private? I am Mr. Darcy's aunt.
Yes, his aunt.
You may be his aunt, Lady De Burgh, but after all, is not Mr. Darcy his own master?
Miss Bennet, enough of this. All I want is a promise to say no should Mr. Darcy ask your hand in marriage.
Perhaps I already have.
Are you implying that Mr. Darcy has already proposed to you? That's nonsense. But if he should, Miss Bennet, I insist that you refuse him. There is too much difference in your social positions now, do you understand?
Yes, I understand quite clearly, Lady De Burgh.
Good.
But unfortunately, I can promise you nothing, because if I may say so, I resent your manner of speaking very much.
Cousin Elizabeth, for shame.
That will do, Mr. Collins. So, Miss Bennet, I have wasted my time, eh?
I'm afraid you have. But you have very little to worry about. If there is one thing of which I am positive, it is that Mr. Darcy will never ask to marry me. Not any more.
Come, Mr. Collins. Goodbye, Miss Bennet.
I declare I never heard of such a thing, Eliza. Lady De Burgh may be well brought up, but she certainly didn't act well bred.
Please, Jane. She is gone, and let's talk no more about it. I'm only sorry that I lost my temper.
Eliza?
Yes, Jane?
Tell me, did you mean what you said? Are you really so positive that Mr. Darcy won't ask you again?
Of course he won't, Jane. Now, please forget it and... Oh, Jane, look. Look, a cloud of dust down the road. Do you hear, Jane? It sounds like horses.
It is horses, Eliza, coming this way. Look. Isn't that Mr. Bingley?
Yes, it is Mr. Bingley. And there's someone with him.
Yes. And Eliza, I think it's Mr. Darcy.
Yes, Jane. It is Mr. Darcy.
Mr. Bingley, this is a surprise. We haven't seen you since last summer.
Oh, yes, Miss Jane, since last summer.
You've returned to Netherfield?
Miss Jane, I should have returned long ago. Don't you agree, Darcy?
Yes. Yes, quite Bingley. I agree entirely. And I'm sure Miss Elizabeth agrees as well.
I do indeed, Mr. Darcy.
Miss Jane.
Yes, Mr. Bingley.
But I wonder if... Well, is your father at home?
Yes, he is.
Then may I... Well, that is, have I your permission to speak to him?
Oh, Mr. Bingley, of course you have my permission.
Well, then, if your sister and Mr. Darcy will excuse us.
Of course, Bingley.
We do excuse you, Mr. Bingley. Mr. Bennet is in the library now.
Miss Jane, can you direct me to your father's library?
Oh, yes, Mr. Bingley. Yes, I'll be glad to.
Miss Elizabeth, I owe you an apology. They are in love, very much in love. One look at the two of them together proves that, doesn't it?
Yes, Mr. Darcy. And I owe you an apology for what I said to you before I left Rosings.
Miss Elizabeth, I deserved every word of it. Every word. You were right. I have paid too much attention to pride and to family. I thought about it after you left, Miss Elizabeth. That's why I went to London and saw Mr. Bingley and...
You need not stop, Mr. Darcy. I've already guessed that it was you who persuaded Mr. Bingley to return to Netherfield.
I wanted to make amends, Miss Elizabeth.
You have, Mr. Darcy. Not only with Jane and Mr. Bingley, but I understand with my sister Lydia also.
Oh? You know about that?
Yes.
I see.
Please do not be upset because I've found out, Mr. Darcy. It has changed my opinion of you completely.
It has, Miss Elizabeth? You now think more highly of me?
Yes, Mr. Darcy. If I am prejudiced now, I assure you it is in your favor.
You do, Miss Elizabeth? Well, in that event, Miss Elizabeth, I am a changed man. But in one respect, I have not changed at all. I love you, Miss Elizabeth. I love you very much. Have I your permission to speak to your father?
Mr. Darcy, you have my permission. Half an hour ago, I was not sure, but now I am. Mr. Darcy, at the risk of sounding improper, may I say that I should like nothing better than to marry you and be your wife.
May I kiss you, Miss Elizabeth?
You may, Mr. Darcy. You may indeed.
Columbia Broadcasting System has brought you Studio One, the 16th program in a feature series of hour-length versions for listening of celebrated stories, novels, and plays. Tonight from Studio One, you have heard Fletcher Markle's production of Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. The adaptation was prepared especially for this series by Sheldon Stark, and the musical score was conducted by Alexander Semler. Now, again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer introduce the principals in our cast tonight. In the Bennett family?
Elizabeth.
Was played by Anne Burr.
Mr. Bennett.
Was Everett Sloan.
Mrs. Bennett.
Was Sarah Burton.
Jane.
Was Kathleen Cordell.
Lydia.
Was Abby Lewis.
Mr. Collins.
Was Hedley Rennie.
Lady de Burr.
Was Miriam Wolfe. Ivor Francis was Mr. Wickham. Gregory Morton was Mr. Bingley. And Mr. Darcy was played by your producer. And now until next week, until Everett Sloan, starring in J.B. Priestley's domestic comedy Laburnum Grove, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.